My dad came to the United States as a refugee after like suffering the worst life you can in Cuba, and he contributed to the space shuttle. That's the American dream. Who I was like, he just works at a factory. I don't know what he does.
Right.
That and so much more coming right up on today's episode of The Podspotter.
On an evening in early December 2018, the young CEO of a cryptocurrency exchange reportedly dies while on his honeymoon in India. This death is not announced to customers for another month. And when they're told Gerald Cotton is the only person to hold the passwords to their funds, conspiracy theories grow, leaving some to wonder, could Gerald Cotton still be alive?
Honeymoon, moving the body, all the missing money. It was like, but what happened?
A death in cryptoland. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Then you like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
It's really a pleasure. I've been screening hundreds of podcasts.
I can never die. My heart is not here. There he is waiting for me. It's waiting for me to get back there. When I left Cuba, I left my life. I left my love. When I left Cuba, I buried my heart. Beats and keeps beating. Because the earth gives life. But the day will come in which my hand will find you. When I left Cuba, I left my life. I left my love. Few songs capture the longing felt by Cuban exiles like Cuando Salí de Cuba. It serves as an anthem for those who once called the white sandy beaches, colonial villages, urban metropolises, or rugged mountains of Cuba their home. When a father's dying wish is that his ashes return to the waters surrounding the tiny island in the Caribbean Sea, the lyrics of Cuando Salí de Cuba can help you begin to understand why. On the sentimental yet hilarious podcast Scattered, comedian Chris Garcia embarks upon a journey to collect the untold scattered plot points of his father's mysterious past. On his way to fulfilling the final request of scattering his ashes in the place his father buried his heart so many years ago. In the 6-episode podcast, Chris chronicles a father's mental decline into Alzheimer's, the emotional journey of grieving a loved one, the troubling ripple effects of failed policies of Fidel Castro, and a comedian's attempt to right the wrongs of a botched eulogy. Joining me to discuss all things Scattered is comic, television writer, poet, podcast host, and new father, Chris Garcia. Thank you for being here, Chris, and thank you for sharing the pod with us. How are you?
Hello. Thank you so much, Zach. And as a former poetry major myself, I have to say that was a very lovely intro. Very well written. I was impressed.
Took me a long time to translate the lyrics. So I'm
and it took you a very short while to butcher the Spanish, so I appreciate that. That was
a Latin major. Doing my best.
No, it was great. I'm very flattered. Thank you for having me. I'm always happy to talk about Scattered.
Excellent. Well, as I mentioned, you're a comedian and you've written for Comedy Central and Adult Swim, and now you're writing for Netflix. But how do you introduce yourself, Chris?
I'm a comedian. That's what I am. I guess I've done stand-up for 15 years now. And so that's how I got into this whole mess to begin with. Yeah, just as a comedian.
As an actor, we have a lot of reverence for comedians. Actors, like, you do what we can't do. When we bomb, it's like that's somebody else's words. But when you bomb, it's you. It's your whole presence. It's yourself. So a lot of deference for
thank you. Thank you. It's not an easy road.
We should probably have you introduce the central figure of your podcast too. Why don't you tell us a bit about your father, Andres Garcia, the man you knew before you embarked upon the podcast?
So, my dad is a Cuban man that came to the United States in his 30s with his wonderful wife, Anna, who is my mom. They're just a very lovely, spirited couple. And they had me a couple years later, and they had very high expectations of me, and I decided to ruin all that and become a comedian. My dad, he loved the United States. He was very proud of being Cuban, but was very proud of being an American. He worked in aerospace as a machinist. In the course of the podcast, I learned that he actually he made pieces that went up in the space shuttle, which I hadn't even known because he was such a humble, hardworking guy. He just put his nose down and just worked super hard. And my accomplishments, I have like a good 5-minute set in open mic, and I'm like, hey everybody, I really killed it today. I really had a good set. And my dad made parts of the Endeavor, the Michael Jordan of space shuttles, and I didn't know. And I've always talked about him in my act since the very beginning. He's been a huge character in my act. And when he had Alzheimer's, I started talking about him in a whole new light, in a way with a whole just so much respect and adoration. And luckily, my mom is so funny, and we were able to see the humor of all the darkness that came along with that. And it was sad. He was in decline for 10 years, and it was the hardest thing I've ever seen. Or experienced, but it was also the most beautiful thing I've ever seen because it really brought our family together. And my dad was just relentlessly himself until the very end, even though his mind wasn't right, but his heart was just so full and beautiful. But when he died, I realized I didn't know that much about him, about his personal life, about his life in Cuba. And so scattered is me, putting on my detective hat and learning all about my dad's very complicated and beautiful life.
A lot of comics get on stage and they make fun of their immigrant parents, and I think those days are done. I think we have a better responsibility now. It's very disrespectful. It's very rude. It's also very unfair. My father doesn't have any recourse. My dad never once got on stage and shit on me. Not once did my dad get on stage. Hey, you guys! Anybody have an American-born kid? Okay, I'm gonna talk about it. Oh, man. My son, Christian, he goes by Chris. Yeah, okay, I believe it, man. Name is Christian Andres Primitivo Garcia. But sure, call him Chris. Oh, yeah, very cute. My dad died 6 days after this set, on Super Bowl Sunday, 2017. I still can't look at Tom Brady's stupid, handsome, perfect, beautiful, chiseled face without thinking about it. There's so much I don't know about my dad. Like, where did he get those scars on his hands? Why did he flinch when the doorbell rang? What happened to him before he left Cuba? He took those secrets with him, and now I'm going to dig them up.
This podcast is produced out of Philadelphia, so we also have a natural aversion to Tom Brady and his perfect face. I love that your podcast was born out of other podcasts, in a sense. Other podcasts sort of lifted up the story and were like, hey, you need to tell this story. Maybe talk about the sort of moments that led to the 6 episodes of Scattered.
I don't listen to podcasts. I've been on podcasts. And so this all culminated in a very natural manner. I had been on a live episode of WTF with Mark Maron, who's a friend of mine that I did.
Podcast royalty in these parts.
Yeah, it's Maron. And it was a live one, but I was like, I'll do it anyway. No one listens to those, but I'll do them. And he was like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I'll surprise you. And so I was like, let's go with the moment. And so I started talking about my dad, who had, been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I just moved home to LA to be with him. And I told some stories about, some funny stories about, my dad.
I moved 3 years ago. I moved down to LA. My dad got a little sick. He has dementia.
Oh, no, don't tense up. We love him. We're taking care of him. He's making the best of it. Life handed him a lemon, and he's using it as a remote control. My mom and I have become really close. I've become a rock, and I love it. I feel like it's a privilege. And my mom tells me everything now. It's like, Mom, call me whenever you want, in the middle of the night, whatever. And she takes full advantage of it. And recently, she was like, hey, so, Papi was very horny today. I know. So I said, no! She said, I can't tell people at church about this motherfucker, so listen. Fair enough. I'll listen. She's like, Papi got very horny. He got very aggressive. He picked me up. He pushed me up against the wall. He was leaning in to kiss me, and he stopped himself, and he said, I don't know if I can do this. I have a wife and two kids. My dad tried to cheat on my mom with my mom.
I guess someone from This American Life had listened to that episode. And so producers from This American Life, they're like, you know, we were very impressed by how you could bring humor into such a dark situation. Would you be interested in maybe working on a segment with us? And so I started talking to their producers, and, you know, I didn't want to have to force anything, but I had remembered, I was like, oh, I have this tape that I recorded on my iPhone that it's the first time my dad forgot who I was. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I was just driving with my dad one day, and it was so weird. He was acting so erratically, and I knew he had early onset Alzheimer's a little bit. We were in denial. And so I happened to record the first time my dad forgot who I was. And that became a segment on This American Life that was really, it was really touching, and I'm really proud of.
We get out of the car. We're walking towards the apartment, and I keep a close eye on him because what the fuck is happening here? And suddenly, he recognizes me again. Were you the one that was driving?
Yeah.
Sunglasses.
I didn't recognize you with sunglasses on.
Yeah.
You didn't recognize me? He says, it's true. I just thought, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then from that, I was asked to do the Two Dope Queens podcast, and I was supposed to do a live set on that show. And it just happened to be the day that my dad was in hospice care, and it was the day that I found out that he only had a couple days left to live. So I went down to Long Beach, where he was, and I stayed with him, and my mom and my sister were away. They couldn't be there, and I just, like, hung out with my dad and just, like, having those last conversations with him, like, thanking him and telling him I love him and I'm sorry for my teenage years, like the stuff that you, like you say. And I also found out that same day that, you know, I had sold a sitcom pilot about my dad, and I found out that it wasn't going to be made. Like, I found out that it was canceled before it was even being made. And I was like, this day sucks. I mean, who cares about the pilot? But I mean, that's always a dream. I was like, it was a sitcom about me and my dad. Find out that's not happening. I find out my dad, way more importantly, is about to die. And I'm like, and I have to do a show that night. But when you're a comedian, sometimes you see the bat signal and you're like, I have to get to the stage. Like, I don't care how crappy I feel right now. Like, I have to do a set. I didn't even have a chance to shower. And I was just like, I was in hospice all day. Like, I needed a shower, but I threw on a sport coat and I just looked like a out of work guy at a job fair, like hard on down on his luck. I was like a mess. And I like show up, First guy I see there is John Hamm from Mad Men, the handsomest, most well-put-together guy in the whole world. And I'm like, just screw this day. Like, I couldn't look worse. And, like, the most beautiful man in the world is standing. This is a nightmare. And so I'm like, ugh. And then I don't even think about my set, and they just announce my name, and it's a packed audience, you know, and it's a big room, and I just go out there and I just like let it fly, like wow. I just, you know, I just let my heart go, and it yeah. like it just filtered through it through the microphone, and I still it's like one of those sets where it's like an out of body experience, like you could tell people really enjoyed yeah. it. And were very moved by it, but I was like in a daze afterwards because it was such a crazy situation.
It's like MJ's flu game a little bit. It's like, yeah. Athletes call it flow, but I don't know that there's a word for like performers. It's intangible and you can't bottle it and you can't figure it out.
I would say
like,
I'm the Michael Jordan of grieving sons. anyway, it was just a beautiful set and it really moved people, I guess. But I just went home. I was like, okay, well, that was something. Who cares? My dad's yeah. about to pass away. And then he died 6 days later. And then maybe a couple of days or weeks after that, WNYC contacted me. And were like, hey, we're very moved by that. Would you be interested ever in doing a podcast? And which is an honor. You know, they do Radio Lab. It's like a really nice, it's a good, they do great stuff.
Top brass, those folks. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know if you know this, but my father just passed away and I'm just not interested in doing anything right now. And they were like, oh my God, we're so sorry. If you're ever interested, please let us know. We know you're a traveling comedian. If you're ever travel on the road or anywhere and you want to record, just hit us up. So later that summer, I'm on tour and I'm about to perform some gig in Miami, and my mom happens to be in Miami because her parents had just passed away as well, and she was taking care of their house and gonna sell it. So I was like, it would be kind of interesting for me to interview my mom in the house that my grandparents immigrated to, and I haven't been there since I was a kid. I think it would bring back some memories. I don't know, just a hunch. I'm feeling better, let's record something. And it's amazing. Like my mom and I just have a great conversation. It's like this. It's like funny and then it's sad and then it's heartwarming. It's like all over the place and it's just very raw. And at one point I ask her if dad was still alive. If dad were alive for 5 minutes, what would you say? And she's like, what would I say? I'd fuck him. And I'm like, what? And like it was from like sad to that. And it was and so the producer at WNYC who was there, Joanna, was like, your mom is what we call a good talker. Like my mom is just like very honest. She's very natural. She's very present. And so we just had a lovely conversation. And during that conversation, it kind of just revealed itself that my dad's dying wish was to be scattered along the coast of Cuba, which she refused to do. But it's what I was like, we've got to do this. And that little seed kind of became the thesis, or it just kind of became the point of the podcast without us even knowing it. It just kind of presented itself. And from then on, we just kept on recording for about 2 years.
As a person who's told his personal stories on podcasts, it's hard to know, like, is this going to serve people or is this self-indulgent? I imagine you had to have some of that same, like, oh man, like, I mean, even this today, like just sitting here having to talk to me, there is a sort of emotional ramp up to this. I know your sister is featured on the pod to be like, hey, maybe don't share all of our family secrets on the internet.
You know, I was worried about it a little bit, but it's just a beautiful story that I'm so proud of that yeah. I don't care. Like, yeah. And then I had never felt self-indulgent about it just because, it just felt right. Like it felt for the first time like I was doing actual something important other than just like fart jokes at a club, you know? Yeah. I knew that from the WTF and This American Life where people all over the world were contacting me about Alzheimer's disease and having or even about a dying parent of their own. Mm. And there's just such a connection that it brought a lot of people that were like, oh my gosh, I feel less alone. I'm a caregiver for my dad. He's had Alzheimer's for 7 years. And thank you for telling the story and all this stuff. And also, I just didn't know what to do with my grief. And so I knew I had to work. I couldn't just sit there and do nothing about it. And this is how I operate. Like I'm a comic. I love telling stories. It's just, I'm expressive. I talk about what's on my mind and in my heart. And this is what was on my mind and my heart for those couple of years, you know?
I want to play for you a voicemail from my mother.
Hi, Papa. My Papa is kind of funny.
It's called to tell you something funny. Dad's doing very well. I left the home because Dad wanted to give me a quickie. A quickie, in case you didn't barf the first time, son.
I'll see you later, alligator.
And then she goes, see you later, alligator. Like she's got a catchphrase, like she's Larry the Cable Guy. How cute is your dad? It's just his brain, but he's still very much in love with me.
Okay.
I had to leave because he wanted to give me the cannon. It's so you would laugh.
Love you, man.
The power of love, everyone. Good night.
She's hilarious. You talk about how your dad, you used him more broadly in your early comedy and how that's changed since this experience. Or maybe just talk about that sort of revelation that, like, we have a better responsibility that you sort of start the podcast with.
Man, it was so broad and so embarrassing those first years. Whenever a comedian's always bad. First 5 years, you're just kind of not great. And you're just kind of like trying to figure out how to do material and what your voice is and what's special about your life. But I would talk about my dad and the jokes were so embarrassing. Like my friend sent me a 15-minute tape of this, which I will burn. I almost destroyed my computer. I was like, there should be no evidence of this. I almost threw it in the ocean. But it was like, my dad, here's an example. I'll tell a couple of them. My mom and dad learned English by watching TV and movies. So like a lot of immigrants, that's how they learned English. And after they watched Jurassic Park, I gave them a little quiz. I was like, what'd you learn? What'd you learn, Dad? And he's like, welcome to Jurassic Park. Like, what'd you learn, Mom? She's like, ah! She did the Velociraptor noise. And then she killed Jeff Goldblum. Kind of funny, maybe, but...
Look, it's not... You're not all to blame. Like, that's the jokes that were presented on television, like, in the mid-90s, too. Like, that's not all you finding your voice.
It's true, but... I talked to my dad. I watched Scarface with my dad, and he's like, I can't understand a word the guy said, you know? It's silly, but it's not really who he is. It's just making fun of how he talks, which I later in that other joke I bring up is like, why make fun of these people? These people that got here to this country, and my dad left in his 30s to come here. And as you learn in the podcast, he had done so much to get here. My dad won the Hunger Games to come to this country, and I'm making fun of him? It's ridiculous.
You're a poet, and that tells jokes about him on stage.
My dad was in a labor camp, and I studied haikus. It's ridiculous. And so I started speaking about him and situations that are actually real life and things that had mattered and the specifics of his life. And in doing that, I realized that I'm the butt of the joke. Mm. Like, I shouldn't be making fun of my dad. My dad's amazing. My mom's amazing. But I'm the idiot, you know? And I think that's way funnier and more interesting. So that's how my act around my mom and dad kind of had switched.
I know that you say on your pod that you are hesitant to talk about Cuba to anybody not from Cuba, but maybe for a little context, I want to just briefly touch on the labor camps that your dad spent some time in, and how they were part of this sort of grand failed plan by Fidel Castro.
Fidel and his advisors come up with a plan.
They're going to create an opportunity for everybody to participate in the cutting of sugarcane.
10 million tons of sugarcane. The idea was to reduce Cuba's dependence on foreign powers and show the world that communism works.
And so Fidel declares that 1969 to 1970 is going to be an 18-month long year. He cancels Christmas. He closes all the bars. No more drinking, no more going to clubs, no more having fun. And in addition, every human who can should be cutting sugarcane.
Y en este esfuerzo en que nos empeñamos de los 10 millones, duro y difícil, estamos ganando algo más que los 10 millones. ¿Qué vale más que esos 10 millones, que es este salto de calidad en las conciencias?
He's like, Cubans won't just be gaining 10 million tons of sugar, but something worth more than 10 million tons. Something that would be, quote, a qualitative leap in the collective consciousness.
So your dad hears this and he's like, nope, gone, out of here. And
yeah.
And by doing that, that triggers this sort of, nope, now you have to go to a labor camp. Is that?
Yeah, he was deemed a stateless man. That's wow. What happened. So if you requested to leave, they're like, well, now you can't. And so, gotcha, you know. And so my dad had to be, you know, was in a forced labor camp and separated from my mom and, you know, his daughter, who was just a couple years old at that time.
Yeah. And did you know, was this part of the narrative as you, for growing up, or is this most of the stuff that you learned through?
I knew a little bit about it. My dad in passing would be like, voy a cortar caña, like on the way to work, he's like, I'm going to go cut some sugar cane. Like he would just kind of say it like it was just slang. And he's like, oh, another hard day in the fields. But he didn't really ever get into the super gnarly specifics about it. And neither did my mom. As my mom says in the podcast, she blocked it out. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, how can you block that out? And then as I learned the insane realities of the gruesome realities of what they had suffered, I was like, of course you blocked it out. Like, of course. But even though I saw it, the reactions to that culminate in different ways where, like, I didn't know that, you know, my dad would, you know, get a little nervous when the doorbell rang or loud noises. He'd kind of, and I was like, oh, my dad had PTSD as a result of being in these labor camps, you know, like stuff that I just didn't, I had to put it together over the years. But it wasn't like my dad wasn't like, oh, yeah, like I remember the labor guards. Like he just right. He never brought it up.
One of the big underlying questions in the pod is the role that the camps had on his mental state. And certainly it played a part, as you find evidence of, in his depression. But were you able to I don't know how you would have done this, but were you able to find a link at all through autopsy, through evidence of CTE or anything like that, a relationship between the conditions at the camps and his early Alzheimer's diagnosis?
You know, we looked into it. I wish there was. And I think when you're telling a story and thinking of anyone's life outside of an actual story for a podcast, in the narrative that we make in our own heads, my mom was just like, it came from the camps. The Alzheimer's is a result of the camps or the electric shock. But there was actually no evidence of it. I wish we could have done a study on Cuban men of a certain age from that era that were in those camps. But I mean, we just, there's no study.
Well, you are clearly an expert on your life history, on your father's history, but are you, sir, an expert on your own podcast? We have a little segment in these parts we call How Well Do You Know Your Own Pod?
Answer oh, man.
Two of three questions correctly, and your scattered mug is going to be on this scattered bookshelf of pod swag behind us. Are you ready for three questions about your own podcast?
Oh my gosh. I am nervous.
These are all softballs. You are so intimately knowledgeable about your own podcast, having hosted it and written it. This is going to be, you're going to breeze through this. Having lived it, hosted it, written it, you should be fine. What reason does your mother give for loving Pitbull the rapper?
He looks like he smells good. which he does look like a sentient bottle of cologne. So I
cologne in man form. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's cologne in man form. So I would say that.
Let's have a listen.
She's 4'8", and I like to joke that she's so small, she looks far away. She's kind of like a chihuahua, tiny and adorable, and she's always up in my shit. And she loves Pitbull, you know, the Cuban rapper. She says he looks like he smells good.
Maybe I'm a fireball.
She's not wrong. She's not
he
wrong.
Does, right? You're like, at least he smells strong. I don't know if it's good. But maybe from 20 feet away, you could smell him.
I'd like to smell him now. I've never wanted to smell Pitbull before. One for one. Next question. What is your father's favorite quote on perseverance? Stick-to-itiveness.
Oh, if you're going to do something, do it all through the way. Which is... You know, not actually a phrase, but a phrase that he uses all through the way. He was very into the fundamentals, even in sports, like bunting. He's like, you got to follow through when you're cat. You got to use both hands. And if you're going to do something, do it all through the way, which is his way of saying all the way. Yeah.
Let's listen.
There's this thing my dad used to say when I was a kid. He'd say, if you're going to do something... Do it all through the way. All through the way. Papi, you got it.
Oh, it's such a good episode one bump. I love the end of that episode. That's the end of episode one, and it definitely makes you just keep going. The song, by the way. Oh, my God. We got to talk about the song. Actually, I'll play it later. It's so good. The song for your podcast I've been singing all week.
Oh, thank you.
Wife is so sick of it. Number three, Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea provides some literary allusions on your podcast. Who is the protagonist in Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea?
It's the old man. Is it? Oh my gosh, am I forgetting? Is it Ernesto?
Old man, have a name.
Is it Ernesto? What's the old man's name? How am I spacing on this? It's like me and my dad's book. Is it Ernesto?
El viejo.
Well, he's the old man. That's the start. this is. Got I feel nickname. Like I feel like I'm in high school again. I didn't read the book. Well, of course, it's the old man. What's his name? Is it Ernesto? Emilio? Starts with an E. What's his name? No.
Santiago.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed that. How did I miss that?
It's fine. It's fine. Your mug
is
still going up.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe. How did I do this? This is bad. This is really bad.
Guys, we're gonna take a quick break.
This recording's over.
Notes. This is over. We'll be right back with more Chris Garcia. We are here to fill the role of looking for great content for you. If you like this show, please check us out and subscribe. Visit thepodspotter.com on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at thepodspotter. For lots of good stuff. And please leave a review and follow and subscribe and rate and judge and talk about and get emotionally invested in our weird and wonderful podcast. That would make me really happy. We release every Monday with a review of a great new pod, and we're going to keep plowing ahead, whether you're listening or not. If you have suggestions for future pods, please drop us a note on any social media platform that I mentioned or thepodspotter.com. We're back with more from Chris Garcia, and I'd like to make a little announcement. This is, a narrative nonfiction podcast. I may get into some spoilers. I know I get a lot of mean texts and emails about spoiling these, so, if you're ready to just go binge this one, go off and do it. But I would like to get into some of the takeaways and some of the learning that you did from this post-mortem podcast of yours. And one of the things he sort of mentioned already was Dad's contribution to space travel.
Wait. Eddie is saying that my dad, Andres Primitivo Garcia, most likely built something that went to outer space? And not just something, the Endeavor?
So yeah, it was, if he was there at Rockwell, because Rockwell was the owner of all this. You know, they were the ones who were responsible for the space shuttle's program.
So yeah, inside I'm going to pieces, but I try to play it cool with Eddie.
Good talking to you. Thank you, Eddie. Take care. Yeah. Thanks for your service to everything.
Your dad's got stuff in here.
He has to.
Yeah, Rockwell. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
All right, have a good one now. All right, bye.
That's good. No idea. No idea these types of contributions that my dad really had to the space program and this particular shuttle. Oh. No, what he said that, I was like, I'm gonna leave now. I was like, yeah, this is probably a later thing. And he's like, oh no, this was completed in 87 to 91, exactly when your dad would have been there, you know? No idea.
I love that clip so much. You're going through so much there, Chris. It's like exuberance and laughter. Is he going to cry? You're like unhinged. It's the wildest thing. What is going through your head at that moment when this guy tells you, yeah, your dad probably helped build that?
Okay, so we're standing under the Endeavor, and the Endeavor is massive, and it is majestic, and there's like a Latino father and son standing 10 feet away, and I'm just like, that's me and my dad in 1989, you know? And this is, my dad took me to this museum growing up all the time. I hated it after a while, because he was just like always taking me to the Aerospace Museum, but we're in that actual museum, we're looking at the Endeavor, and I am like, I just have an energy. I'll just remember being like, maybe I'll talk to that guy. And then I start asking one docent questions. And they're like, well, we're all retired NASA guys. Like we all used to work in the space program. I'm like, no way. And he's like, Eddie over there, he worked at Rockwell. And I'm like, make a beeline. And Eddie's the sweetest man. He talks about owning a bunch of parrots. He's like this very sweet old man. I mean, he just loved space as much as my dad. You could see it because he's retired and now he's like still proud of it. He's like, check out the Endeavor. I made the door handle on that guy. You know, he's like so proud. And I'm like blown away. And I'm like, yeah, my dad worked there. And he's like, yeah, not only did your dad work there, he worked on this, the greatest spacecraft of all time. I'm tearing up right now listening. You know, I haven't listened to the podcast in a while, but hearing Eddie's voice and hearing my voice and my cackle, it was just so pure. It was every emotion at the same time.
So
the
good raw ones.
Like, yeah. I was just like, what are the chances that I'm talking to this guy and he knows that my dad worked on this thing? And I'm like, it's blowing my mind. But then I'm also like filled with pride and like tears and like so much joy. And then the very ending of the episode, the sound design on there, which I didn't work on. The incredible sound designers and musicians at WNYC worked on it. They were like, hey, just so you know, you're gonna weep at the end of this episode. And I was like, yeah, right, yeah, whatever. And that's one of my favorite parts of the entire podcast is that moment. And then the very ending of that episode, which they put together so beautifully, it was so beautiful. It was like my dad came to the United States, moved to the West Coast, to the Los Angeles to work in aerospace as a refugee after like suffering the worst life you can in Cuba. And he contributed to the space shuttle. Like, that's the American dream. Like, my dad, I'm tearing up now, but like, that's so beautiful that this guy who I was like, he just works at a factory. I don't know what he does. I mean, I was like, yeah.
Off to poetry school. See ya.
I'm going to go learn about Hemingway and then forget the name of his characters. it's just such a beautiful moment just as a son to learn that your dad is like, oh, cause you know, I was like, oh, my dad never made it. Sometimes you're like, did I get in my dad's way? Did putting me through, like a Catholic school, an elementary school or college, did his sacrifices keep him from living his dream? And it's like, no, he lived it. I didn't get in his way. Like, it was just a beautiful moment.
I have a lot of guilt about how I make my living too, coming from coal miners and butchers. And here I am, like, you know, talking in a microphone and doing goofy commercials, selling condoms. And it's like
selling condoms in a gamer chair. Yeah, that's what. that's why your ancestors got black lung. Got lung.
My grandfather Paul Robidas died from black lung, yeah. And here I sit. Oh God. Oh well.
That means he made it.
I think it does. I think
the
it
fact
does,
that right. I can't change a tire means my dad did a great job. I think. Yeah. I think that means.
Did he? I mean, was he lucid while you were performing, or
not really? Yeah. Like, he wasn't really lucid, and I was just kind of starting out, and He got that me and my mom are funny. But I don't think my mom still doesn't really understand what I do, you know, like she just doesn't know. And she just is like, oh, OK, you're just a funny person. Can I cash in on that? You know?
Yes. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah.
But he didn't really ever get it, which is another. It motivates me a lot. You know,
if they have a loose understanding of what you do for a living, I can't imagine, you know, you eventually get back to Cuba and with the ashes, and you meet your family living over there that go to like great lengths just to watch an Amy Schumer special on Netflix. Like, what is their concept of LA Chris Garcia that is a comedian? Like, what was that interaction like?
Well, first of all, I don't know if this is in the podcast, but my family in Cuba was like, so your mother says you're a journalist. And I'm like, Mom, I've been doing comedy for 12 years at this point. A journalist. And mom was like, being a comedian is not cool. She's like, it's not classy. It's kind of a low class profession. So I just said journalist. I mean, you are technically recording stuff.
So that part of the family doesn't even know what you do. You're right. You've written for all these shows. They have no concept. Thank God she didn't say doctor and like someone got hurt. Like, she just lies
just
about what you
ego.
Do.
Just my ego. Yeah. So like, journalists, I'm like, what? She's like, I don't know.
So they're asking you about Cronkite and you're like, yeah, no, totally.
One of the best.
Hero of mine.
Ernesto Cronkite, right? Ernesto Cronkite. You know, to watch this humor special that we talk about, they have to get this thing. It's an illegal thumb drive that you risk years in jail to get. It's like a whole situation. It's called El Paquete. And I was very touched when, like, right after we left Cuba, my family had pirated it. And they sent me a clip of them watching my recent performance on James Corden. And I was like, whoa!
Yeah. That's awesome. And they're like, he fucking lied to us.
Yeah, a journalist. He's not a journalist. Journalism in America is weird. Yeah.
What did mom, listen? Have a listen to the pod? Did she like it?
She loved it.
Oh, that's
amazing. She was really touched and she was really moved. And like, you know, her English isn't great, but she got the gist of it. And she was just really proud of it, which is such a relief, because I didn't want to re-traumatize her or make her feel bad or ashamed of anything. And the fact that she was like, oh my gosh, you honored dad. I mean, that's made it worth it just for me, is the fact that my mom was proud of it.
How much was just revenge eulogy? Because I know you talk a lot about how, like, and this has happened to me, by the way. I had such a shared experience of, like, anytime I have to talk at, like, group, like, family gatherings or anything, I can't do it. And then, like, some 10-year-old will get up and be like, here's what I think, and blah, 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 was very special. And you're just like, that kid nailed it. I'm too performative, and I'm too emotional. So hearing your eulogy story, I was like,
my buddy Al Madrigal, who he's a comedian, he was like correspondent on The Daily Show and stuff. And he's like always kind of like a mentor, and he always like calls me up and gives me advice and stuff. And he's like, hey buddy, sorry to hear about your dad. FYI, you want to write down your eulogy. And I was like, Al, you talk about news and stuff. I talk about my dad in my act. So I'm okay. Like, I'm just going to go up there. I'm just going to. Old Riffy Pants is going to kill it as usual up there. And then I just try to tell a joke, like, and then it falls flat. And then I just start weeping. And then my sister, who's just a nerd. Like, my sister just like is the most poetic. She is Maya Angelou up there. Everyone's just like clapping. And then I'm sitting there like, fuck this. Like, what the hell is this? I'm not even enjoying her eulogy because the comedian in me is like, I need to go back up there. I'm going to talk to the host about getting another eulogy in before the night's over. It was such a ridiculous moment.
Can I get the 9 o'clock slot?
I go up early on the somewhere in the middle of the lineup after someone that's worse than
Antina.
Me?
I want to go after Antina.
Okay, Don't want to follow Laura, my sister.
You start the pod with an interview with your therapist. You know, sort of questioning, is this a good idea to do this? Should we, this podcast postmortem? I don't know. And so I'm wondering in hindsight, it seems like after talking to you, yes, positive experience. And
it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. That's cool. And, you know, when you tell a story, I've talked about this before, but like whenever you tell a story or for a podcast or a TV show or a movie or a book or whatever, you're always wondering why you dropped the pin here. Why is it this point in this person's life that we decide to follow him today, you know? Mm. And this just happened to be the perfect pin in my family's life, like where we just dropped the needle right here. And it just happened to be this very heartfelt, beautiful moment that we're all processing the life and death of this beautiful man. And I'm just so proud of it. And I'm just so honored that people have listened to it and have enjoyed it so much.
It is a beautiful podcast. It's 6 episodes, very bingeable. It was completed in 2019, but that shouldn't stop you from checking it out. You can, you know, it lives in perpetuity, and it's a quick listen. And I'm thankful that you shared it with us.
Thank you so much, Zach.
Well, Chris, it is the last 5 minutes of our podcast. And as you know, no one listens to the last 5 minutes of any podcast. By now, they're done, you know, whatever little hobby they've been working on. The jog is done. The meal is cooked. No one's here.
It'd be so funny if people didn't listen to the last 5 minutes of Scattered, which is pretty much half an hour at a time. So they're just completely lost at the beginning of every episode. They're like, what? They think my dad's alive. They think he's in space.
Straight comedy in that version. There's no dark elements. That's great. Okay, with yours, probably people listen to the last 5 minutes of yours, but mine's just too long. No one's here anymore. And so we can talk about whatever we want. You know, it doesn't have to be Scattered related. And I go first. I just got, for the first time in my life, I got life insurance at 38 years old because I'm a fake adult. I'm fake. Been faking it the whole time. And I just wanted people to know that they should just lie. You should just lie to those people that call, I guess, because I told the truth about, you know, once a year, maybe, Chris, I'll have a little marijuana. Once a year, maybe, at a party. Who knows? Someone will hand me something on the street, and sure, why not? It happens. Maybe just once a year. And my rep gets back to me, and he's like, hey, why didn't you tell me about the addiction? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, they mentioned an addiction to something. I don't, why didn't you tell me about that? I'm like, I thought I'm supposed to be honest and just tell the truth occasionally once, you know, engage in some recreational marijuana. And I should not have disclosed that apparently because it's such a dumb offhanded thing and it's not habitual that I just should have lied. But this guy, my rep should have told me to lie, right? I think he should have. I think he's
I mean, especially since you mentioned that maybe from someone off the street. That didn't help your car. That didn't help.
That probably
just
didn't help.
Just any stranger off the street, I'll take whatever out of their hands and just puff it. You're like, okay, yeah, your life is worth 35 cents, sir.
More dollars a month is the going rate if you enjoy an edible once a year.
Wow. So
ten more dollars a month?
Yeah, just lie.
So bummed. Just lie, I guess. I was even like, hey, should we go to someone else and just lie then? He's like, no, they all talk.
No, they don't. That's insane. Liberty Mutual and...
like they're sitting around the calf. Hey, did you hear about...
they're smoking weed themselves. They're like, did you hear about this pothead? I mean, talk about a day one stuff. You just don't... You don't mention it, buddy. They're just like, yeah, that's ridiculous. They all talk. That can't be true.
You got anything for a former boss, former lover, anyone you want to tell off or anything? Any new daddy stuff?
Let's see. Now the kids, you know what's pretty cool is that, okay, so my dad died on February 4th. No, he was born on February 4th. Died on February 5th. My daughter was born February 6th.
Wow.
Which was just, like, my wife went into labor on the 4th, my dad's birthday. And the whole time I was like, what's going to happen? Is she going to be born, like, you know, first time dad? I'm like, is she going to be born before midnight? Like, my wife's been not even in labor. She's just feeling a little bit of a twinge down here. And then I was like, is she going to be born the day my dad passes away? And then she was born the very next day as the sun was rising. And the next day, Super Bowl Sunday, fucking Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl again.
Oh my God.
Isn't that insane? The most unlikely time, Tom Brady, you're like, no way Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, Tom Brady is forever linked to my family somehow. I don't know how.
This guy, we got to stop him. He's got to stop winning Super Bowls.
He's got to retire before some other bad stuff happens. We got to retire on a high note, Tom.
Friends are just going to be checking in on you if this guy makes a Super Bowl again. Yeah, like, hey, Chris, everything okay over there? We saw Tom made it again.
Yeah, I can't tell life insurance about Tom Brady. It's going to be, it can go either way.
Just lie.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, yeah, healthy, love Tom Brady, everything's great. Yeah.
Hate marijuana, don't know who Tom Brady is, don't care for him.
Yeah. It's crazy, too, is your dad held out for that day, too. My doctors from your pod, they were like, no, he's going to go here. And your whole family was like, no, he's going to make it longer.
Yeah, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. And he made it, Pat. He made it to his birthday in a day, which I'm like, that's so cool. And then this little perfect angel comes about. And I'm like, wow, the circle of life, everybody. Wow. And friggin' Tom, stupid Brady.
Well, I ask all guests, and you sort of answered this already, for a piece of audio, something to add to the podcast Hall of Fame, maybe a favorite conversation or a piece of music or something from your pod that you particularly love. And I think you answered it. It's that moment that WNYC produced sort of after you learn about the Endeavor, or is there something else?
Yeah, I love that moment. And then, of course, I love, without spoiling it, We Scatter the Ashes.
No need to listen now, folks. Scattered.
When the song that you started this podcast with, Cuando Salí de Cuba, comes on, I just always love that moment too. It just, you know, we were at, We Scatter the Ashes. It's very emotional. And I'm like, let's go and have a mojito. Can we just have a mojito somewhere? And, you know, and there's like a trio of balladeers, like, playing table to table. And my mom asked them if they'll play this song. And it was a song that she was singing on the flight to Cuba, you know? And it's just such a beautiful song. And when it comes on, I always get happy. It ends the podcast. This podcast has so many somber moments. It just ends it with such joy, which is how I feel now. So I love that moment too.
Esta tormenta está azotando sin descansar, pero el sol de tus hijos pronto la calma te hará alcanzar. Cuando salí de Cuba, dejé mi vida, dejé mi amor.
We're always looking for new suggestions on a fresh batch of pods. We know there's tons out there, so help us out. Tell me what you're listening to and what hosts you'd like to hear from via thepodspotter.com or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at thepodspotter. Thank you.
This has been Zach Robidas. The Podspotter is created by the Price Brothers, produced by Oink Inc. Radio, associate producer Tori Adams, and is recorded and produced at Baker Sound in Philadelphia.